Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream our show live weekdays at 9 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Good morning. You're listening to NPR News, and I'm Tiffany Hansen in for Carrie Miller. What is the meaning of modern masculinity? Does it depend on your gender, your sexuality, your income level, education? There's a men's liberation movement, the pro-feminist men's movement, men's rights, and the Christian men's movement, which notably includes the Promise Keepers. There are a lot of agendas at play here, advocating for often very distinctly different goals. It's a lot to sort out, even as some may be asking themselves, do men really need a movement? First, though, I want to talk about the announcement on Sunday that Howard Schultz, former CEO of Starbucks, is making way for an independent bid for president. Is he just another billionaire who thinks he can run the country like a corporation, or does he have a political vision that's going to resonate with everyone? Independent political runs haven't gotten very far historically. We're going to talk about all of that with Samara Klar, an associate professor of political science at the University of Arizona and author of the book Independent Politics. Welcome, Samara.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
And of course, if you have some thoughts on independent politicians, independent bids for president, call me 800-242-2828 or 651-227-6000. And of course, I'm on Twitter at Tiffany Hansen with two S's E-N. So Samara, Howard Schultz officially said he's going to go on this book tour before he decides whether or not he's going to run. But he's actually already getting on the ballots in all 50 states, from what I understand. So first, my first question is it really that difficult to get on the ballots in are all of the states requiring different things of him, and how complicated is that?
Okay, well, you know, what I'd first say about Howard Schultz's run is that his goal here is to run as an independent candidate in 2020, as an alternative to either party. And I think what he's doing is really misunderstanding what it means to be an independent voter in the United States. So, you know, most of my research that you referenced in the book about independent voters is really about independent voters in America, why they say that they're independent and what they really want. And what we find is they don't actually want a third party. What they want is the party that they prefer to behave in a more cooperative, bipartisan manner.
Well, that's interesting that you point that out, because one of the things I was going to talk to you about, there are people, probably 42% of eligible voters, somewhere around there, that say that they are independent voters, but they don't typically vote independent. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So about, you know, 5 to 7% of independent voters will tell you that they truly do not prefer either party. That's not 5 to 7% of all voters. That's just simply 5 to 7% of independent voters. So the vast majority of independent voters really do prefer a particular party, the Democrats or the Republicans, and they consistently vote for that party in elections. So we saw, for example, in 2016 that independents who tell us they prefer the Democrats voted for Hillary Clinton actually at a higher rate than did Democrat partisans. And similarly, independents who tell pollsters that they prefer the Republicans voted at a higher rate for Donald Trump than did self-identified Republicans. So we see that most independents do prefer a party, and they do vote for that party. Now, that's not to say that they are electorally inconsequential. They do represent a different portion of the electorate. And that is a portion of people who do not identify with the aggressive rhetoric, with the hostile tension between both parties in Washington. They do want more bipartisanship. They do want more cooperation across the aisle.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned 2016. I can remember a lot of folks begging for a third candidate at some point that were unhappy with Hillary Clinton, unhappy with President Trump, begging for a third option. But at the same time, people want a viable option, but then they don't vote for them because they think they're not viable. So
that's exactly right. I mean, you were really hitting the nail on the head there, because, you know, what we found in 2016 is that we had two historically unpopular candidates. Both Clinton and Trump were really disliked, historically disliked. So this was, in my view, after, you know, studying independents for years, 2016 to me was the election where if an independent candidate could succeed, they would have succeeded. But at the end of the day, just as you mentioned, voters want to vote for somebody who is electable. There's a real concern about wasting your vote, about throwing your vote away. And more problematically, independents are such a heterogeneous group. You know, about half of independents prefer Democrats, half of independents prefer Republicans. And these people do hold ideological preferences that line up with those parties. So it's really difficult, if not impossible, for one independent candidate to be able to unite this very diverse group of people.
Well, I want to read a quote for you from the president of the Center for American Progress, who was a former advisor to Hillary Clinton on Twitter. He said, "If he," meaning Schultz, "enters the race, I will start a Starbucks boycott because I'm not giving a penny that will end up in the election coffers of a guy who will help Trump win." So is that what Democrats are most worried about, is that he's going to peel votes off from whoever is the Democratic nominee? And
I mean, that is certainly always a concern, that a third candidate is going to take votes away from a more legitimate option, for example, from the Democrats, and handing the election to Trump. So there's been lots of accusations, particularly against Jill Stein, as well as Gary Johnson, for luring voters away from Hillary Clinton. We saw that, of course, with Ralph Nader. He was constantly being attacked as being a spoiler. Now, the evidence as to whether or not that's true is mixed. We don't know. It's hard to know for sure that these people would have voted at all otherwise, let alone voted for that particular candidate. But sure, that's a concern. I mean, a lot of Democrats are arguing right now that, you know, if the goal is to defeat Trump, then all these candidates must come together and work as a unit to try to get the strongest opponent against him.
Conversely, for the Republicans, do they have to worry about an independent candidate pulling off moderate Republicans who think that the party is being destroyed by Trump?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the threat of the third candidate acting as a spoiler is equally threatening to both sides, certainly. But, you know, again, I would argue that it's unlikely for any third party to really pull a substantial number of votes at a time when people just want to elect someone electable. Now, the second thing I would say about Howard Schultz specifically is that he is in many ways sort of repeating Donald Trump's playbook of, you know, acting as this nonpartisan, postpartisan, outside of the establishment candidate, a non-traditional candidate, a business owner, someone who isn't soaked in political baggage. But I don't know if that's really what people are going to want this year. Those who are happy with Trump are going to stick with him, and those who are unhappy with him seem to want a more traditional establishment candidate this year. I think that the lesson that Trump's critics have learned is that perhaps it's better to have a candidate who actually has extensive political experience.
So you mentioned Ross Perot, Ralph Nader. We are actually in pretty different political waters right now than we were for those elections. Does that make a difference for the outcome for an independent candidate?
You know, what I would predict is that independent voters, as they always have done, are largely going to support the party that best aligns with their ideological views. Independent voters will consistently tell us that they don't care about the candidate, they care about the policy preferences, they care about the ideological issues that are important to them. And again, independent voters are split between those who support the Democrats and those who support the Republicans. So it's just unlikely at this particularly polarized time that we're going to find an independent candidate who can unite those two competing factions. Referring to independents as a homogenous voting bloc is a real misnomer, because it's a very diverse group of voters.
Mm-hmm. And to that, Mike in Long Lake called and said, please refrain from saying that third parties take voters from mainstream candidates. Nobody owns those votes. For example, Hillary and Trump don't own those votes. That puts third party candidates in a bad light when we use that language. I own my vote. Is that?
I think that is a terrific point. I mean, having more options available to people is better. Everybody likes that in theory and also in practice to a certain extent. But again, voters seem to want to support a candidate that they view as electable.
So when we talk about previous independent candidates, we also often, you know, talk about Michael Bloomberg, the former mm-hmm. mayor of New York City, who is also a billionaire. Do you think that there might be some fatigue with billionaires coming in and thinking they can save the day?
Yeah, you know, I think that we went through a streak over the past decade or so where voters were really craving an outside the establishment candidate. I think Barack Obama actually played that very well. He presented himself as sort of a non-traditional candidate who doesn't really come from a political background. People really were drawn to that. John McCain and Sarah Palin actually in their own way attempted to do the same. They were sort of this maverick duo who didn't really ascribe to any political leaning necessarily. And people really were drawn to that for quite a long period of time. Donald Trump, Bernie Sanders as well used that same campaign motto or that same campaign image. But as I said before, I think at this point we may see a turn. Donald Trump's supporters are going to continue to support him. And Donald Trump's critics, it seems, want somebody with political experience this time. They seem to be sort of tired of that political neophyte image.
Mm-hmm. So if we talk a little bit about what Schultz is signaling his platform may be, he sounds a little bit like a mix, which could reflect how independent voters are thinking. For example, he talks about how the far left views of free health care, free college for everyone. And his question is, how are we going to pay for that when we're already trillions of dollars in debt? So he does sound a little bit like a no big government Republican. But at the same time, if you look at the history of Starbucks, he offered health insurance. He let folks take free classes at Arizona State University online, stock options for part-time employees. So he does sound a little bit like a mix. Do you think that might help?
You know, I don't. And that is because it seems that what Howard Schultz is doing is he's pulling different issue positions from this large group of independent voters without understanding that independents are a diverse group. Some of them agree with certain issues and others agree with the others. So this isn't a group of voters who we can analyze as one large block. Mm-hmm. We have to break them up. And what we see is that certain independent voters prefer more Republican-leaning policy issues. They are more likely to vote for a Republican than they are to vote for somebody who is incorporating Democratic-leaning issues into their platform. And the same goes for Democratic-leaning independents. They actually just prefer a consistently Democratic platform.
You don't think that this sort of the ethics of spending money responsibly will resonate more with folks now than it has in the past?
Well, I think that always has resonated with both sides. I mean, both Democrats and Republicans have always supported the ethics of spending money responsibly, of fiscal responsibility. But it also comes down to what the parties are willing to spend their money on. And we've seen this particularly throughout the Trump administration that Republicans and Democrats are both very willing to spend large amounts of money, but on dramatically different programs.
So one last question, Samara. Are we ever going to see a successful third-party candidate running for president?
Well, listen, I am out of the business of predictions.
Okay.
No longer what I do. Not that I ever did or did it well. But, you know, it seems that in our two-party system here in the United States, it just seems so unlikely to me. Now, on more local or state levels, independent candidates can and have had successful runs. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to governing federally, it seems what Americans really want is someone from the establishment who is able to pull together an ideologically consistent platform. So I would say no, I would not hold your breath on an independent president. But listen, I don't bet, so anything can happen.
Sounds good. Samara Klar is an associate professor of political science at the University of Arizona and author of the book Independent Politics. Samara, it was a lot of fun to have you.
Thanks so much. It was great to talk.
Bye-bye.
You just heard a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. To add your voice to the discussion, you can call in at 800-242-2828 or tweet us at @CarrieNPR. And if you miss us live, you'll find all our shows by subscribing to this podcast. You can send us your questions or comments by emailing talk@npr.org.